And good morning, everyone. Welcome again to St. Mark's. My name's Andrew. I'm the senior minister here. It's great to welcome you, particularly if you're visiting today, as we think about Ephesians and what we've just read. The Anzac spirit is very much evident in this part of Emerald. We have the memorial walk out the side there, and I recently went to an event commemorating and celebrating the building of that walk, which honours members of the Emerald community who died in the First World War as part of the Anzac army. And every year we take time as a nation to honour people who were part of that and others who've served their country and given their lives in sacrifice to protect us. And so that's something that we do, we remember that. But this remembrance of war actually reminds us and reminds me each year of how much war is part of our history and how much it's part of the world and part of what goes on every day. Even in peaceful Australia here, we're not separated from wars. Our soldiers and other people go over to wars, and there are many people today we see fleeing wars overseas to come to Australia looking for peace and a new life. And so that's the reality of the world, though. We're a divided world. We're a world at war. Hundreds of big and small nations of various kinds, often at war with each other. I heard that last year, about only 10 countries in the world were not involved in a war of some kind, out of 160-odd that there are. And so war is constant. War is everywhere. But we all recognise the need for peace, and so we've created a big organisation, the United Nations, to create peace in the world. It doesn't seem to be working yet. Maybe we should give it some more time. Peace seems a long way away. And so war is a constant, and not just wars between nations, but lots of other conflicts that we know of that destroy people's lives. So we hear about wars between different races of people, between different cultures, between different religious groups. There are wars and conflicts between political parties and all these big-scale wars we see on the news. But there are also lots of mini-wars around us, lots of conflicts that we see every day. So there's always been a big war in Australia between employers and the unions and the workers, and that shapes our politics. There's a war perhaps between people who might read the Herald Sun and people who read The Age and how they approach life. There's a war, I think an ongoing war between people who drive cars and people who ride bikes on our roads. Collingwood and Carlton supporters have a bit of an ongoing war. And there's a very deep entrenched division between those who hang the toilet roll on the outside of the roll and those who hang it on the inside. I'll tell you what side I'm on later. So the list goes on. We're all divided. We're divided. There's lots of conflicts. And so we're a divided world. And the Bible reading today addresses this problem and what we as a Christians and as a church can contribute to God's plan, which is for a peaceful and unified world. We're doing a series on the topic of being the church, as Megan said, and we're looking at Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And we're asking, what does this part of the Bible tell us about who we are as members of the church? What should we be doing? And in the first week, we considered the story that we're part of as Christians, which is the story of the Bible. And it's the story of God's plan to save the world through Jesus and through the people who follow him and to bring the world back into relationship with him. And that's what the church is about. And it's the story of God healing divisions in the world that we've made through our sin. And last week we saw that God firstly heals in us the biggest division of all, which is the separation between God and human beings by bringing us back into a healing relationship with him through Jesus. And that's what it means to become a Christian. And so that's the foundation for being part of the church, being reconciled to God. And so today we start to again to look outward at other divisions that are being healed. And back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, we read about God's big plans for the world. And he has a big plan, which is to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Okay? To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And how does he do that? Today we're thinking about how does Jesus bring things to unity on earth? How does he bring reconciliation in division? And because as we saw in verses 19 to 22 of our reading today, God has a goal, which is to build on the earth a household for himself, which is a household of peace where he can live. And that's one of the goals of the church. And so the question is, how can this happen? How can human beings live in peace together and be reconciled as the household of God? And in Ephesians 2, we get a look at this through the lens of one of the foundational events in the history of the church, which was the reconciliation between Jewish and Gentile Christians in the early church into a single unified body. And if you read the New Testament, this is one of the big themes of the whole New Testament, this that was happening, Jews and Gentiles coming together. And Paul talked about it a lot. Because for the church to go on beyond the first generation and to continue to grow, there had to be a reconciliation between those Jewish people who followed Jesus and those who were not Jews and who wanted to join the church and follow Jesus themselves. In verses 11 to 13 of that reading, we see the differences that separated Jews and Gentiles at the time of Jesus and these divisions that had to be overcome. So there were these two groups, the Jews and those who weren't. So the Jews, these were God's people. They were people, Paul says, who were near to God, who knew him. They were circumcised as a sign of their covenant with God, and they kept his law. They were sort of in God's people. And the Gentiles, they were the nations around Israel, the rest of the Roman Empire. Okay? And at least in Jewish eyes, these people were very far away from God. They weren't circumcised, Paul says. They hadn't been chosen by God to be his people. They were excluded from his promises. They didn't have the law. And they didn't have a true knowledge of God. And so Paul talks about the division between these two groups in his world as a dividing wall of hostility in verse 14. That's why the walls are our theme today. And these two groups generally despised each other. So the Jews looked at the Gentiles and thought, these are godless pagans. They're going to be judged by God. They don't know him. And the Gentiles looked at the Jews and thought, these are religious fanatics. They don't know what's going on in the real world, and they're going to get what's coming to them. So it was like there was a wall separating Israel from the rest of the world. And coincidentally, there is actually a wall in Israel at the moment, sadly, separating Israel from Palestine. And these sort of walls continue. But in Jesus' day, this wall that Paul is talking about is something a bit less literal than this. It was a wall that was made up of the law of Moses, or the law that we find in the Old Testament, which was a way of living that described, it separated who could worship God or who was worshiping him from those who couldn't. And so people who were part of the Jewish people, who kept the law, could come to the temple to worship God, and those who didn't keep the law, the Gentiles couldn't. They couldn't worship God freely. They had to wait outside. And so this is something that happened for a long time, and perhaps it was understandable, but people came to see, this can't be God's final plan. How can this barrier be overcome between those who know God and those who don't? How can Gentiles become believers alongside Jews? And so this wall had to be taken down, the wall of the law. And Paul says this is precisely what Jesus did. So he says Jesus put aside the law by fulfilling it in himself. He made a new way to approach God that was open to everyone. You didn't have to keep the law, your faith in Jesus, because he kept it. After Jesus died and rose again, the barrier didn't exist. So in verse 18 it says, "For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." So in the same way, Jesus tore down the wall between Jews and Gentiles by making access to God based on faith in him, not in keeping the law, through the Holy Spirit rather than what we do. So the wall had been broken down, Paul says, in Jesus now. I went to Berlin a couple of years ago and I saw there they keep some of the final remains of the wall that used to separate East and West Berlin. That separated that city for decades. And most of you will probably remember when it came down. It was a huge deal for the world. It changed things everywhere. And what Paul's saying is there's been another huge change in his time. This wall between the Jews and Gentiles has been broken down as well, and something new is happening. So these two groups could come together in Christ to form something new. So in verse 15 and 16, he says this was his purpose, to create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace. And in one body, reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. And so this is what Paul's writing about. And this picture of the wall between Jews and Gentiles coming down in Jesus is a picture of the basis of reconciliation for Christian people. Because it says that Christ provides a unity for Christians that's deeper with each other than that which comes from other things, like being born in the same place, being part of the same nation or culture, ethnic group, being part of the divisions that we're used to in the world. It's actually a deeper unity, even the things that we might think are completely fundamental, like the difference between being a Jew or Gentile. It's a unity on the level of the spirit, which is the deepest part of who we are. It's not a unity that ignores our differences, but says there is something deeper that brings us together despite them. And so that's what the church is as a whole. If we're going to be the church is these people, is people who've been brought together by Jesus at a deeper level than the other things that have divided them. And so we believe the church everywhere, everyone here is a Christian, is part of the same church, the same group of people that God's brought together. We're not separated anymore into individuals or little groups. We're united into the whole body of Jesus. So Paul talks about a household that God's building, and that's what the church is supposed to be. And Paul says in verse 20, this is a house that has Christ as its cornerstone. So it's built on him, and it's built on the apostles and the prophets who preached the gospel and told people about Jesus and what he'd done. So the church is united by the faith that the apostles preached, which is the gospel, and that unites everyone who believes it and who receives God's Spirit through Jesus. And so that's the way God has planned to bring reconciliation into the world, by creating a new community who are united by their faith in Jesus and share the same Spirit. This is his plan. And so this is a plan of reconciliation. So for us as Christians and as a church, reconciliation, yep, is one of our key tasks. It's one of the big themes of our life. And I think there are two parts, though, to this journey of reconciliation that God's calling us on. And so the first is a journey inward into reconciliation with God and with other members of the church, and learning to live that unity that we have. And that's one of our. And the second is a journey outward to be ambassadors of reconciliation in the world around us. And so these are one of our big tasks as a church. And so we saw last week that reconciliation with God begins with the recognition that it's inside ourselves, inside our hearts, that the actual problem of division in the world is to be found. So not in other groups or people, it's not other people who are the problem, it's us. We're divided within ourselves because of our sin, and we're not whole, we're not at peace with God. And it's not possible, I think Paul would say, to be at peace with others if we're not at peace with God and with ourselves. Because if we aren't, we're going to just keep building walls to divide ourselves up from other people because we're afraid or we have differences. I want to read you a famous quote by a Russian writer, a man named Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He was a Christian man. He spent a lot of time in the Soviet communist concentration camps. And he was initially convinced in his time that the communists were totally evil and bad. They were the baddies and he was on the good side. But over time, he came to a different conclusion due to his experiences there. So he wrote in his book, "Gradually it was disclosed to me that the line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts." So when we come to Jesus to be forgiven, we come as we are. We're all both good and evil. And so we come to have him break down the wall inside us, between us and God, and then the wall between us. So God takes us as we are and works with us. And Christ reconciles us to ourselves first, breaks down the wall between us and God and makes us new. And so then we can have peace with God and other people. So if we don't have peace with other people, the burdens we carry, that's the place to start, in our own hearts, acknowledging the division within ourselves between what we should be and what we are, and to bring ourselves to Christ to be changed. So that's the basis of this. And then we can undergo this task of being ambassadors of reconciliation in the world. But this peace that Paul's talking about, it really needs to be a reality in the household of God between Christian people. And this is something where Christians have a lot of trouble from time to time. If you look at the church around the place, we realise we're not always united in the way that we should be, either externally or inside our congregations. There are at present, I think, 30,000 different Christian denominations in the world. The church keeps splitting into different bits. And Christians have fought each other and killed each other throughout history. And local churches, and including our church, have always had conflicts and fights, hostility, splits, conflict of every kind. And so everything's not always well in this house that God is building. And it's something that is a great challenge for the Christian, for Christians and for the church, because it's part of our mission to be the household of peace. The church is meant to be a living sign of God's peace in the world. And so if we're not, then at a fundamental level, we're not being what we're supposed to be. And so this is something that we need to grapple with. We probably maybe even need to grapple with right here, where there is not peace, perhaps, between us, or there are unresolved conflicts. And these things might not be obvious. I don't think there's a wall down the centre of the aisle here. The walls between us are often invisible, unseen, between groups in the church or between people. Over small things and big things. Because we live in a community, and things happen in the life of a community, and people find difficulty. People feel excluded or betrayed, or there's gossip or rudeness or harshness or neglect or criticism or judgment. Often in church, there can be a wall between generations because we value different things. We want to worship different ways, and between all other sorts of people. And so the fact is, Christians are people too. The dividing line between good and evil runs through all of our hearts and inside our church, including my heart too. So the question is, God's calling us to work with this, and we have a choice, I think, as to how do we respond to this, either according to our old divided nature or our new creation nature. It's a real struggle. There are people that I still struggle to forgive for things that they've done to me as Christians in the church. So I have to remind myself in this of my situation before God and with Jesus. He has broken down the wall in me and invited me to a life of reconciliation. So the question is really, am I at peace with God? Am I at peace with myself? And then only then can I be an ambassador of peace to others and in our church too. In verse 13 to 14, Paul says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. He has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, dividing wall of hostility." So if we're not at peace, Jesus himself is our peace. He's the one who's going to make it happen for us and to help us break down our walls. So if we do see a lack of peace among us or between us or in the groups in our lives, in our church, in our community, there is hope, but the hope is Jesus. So, and what he shows us is that one day we will be what we're supposed to be. We are going to be a unified household of peace where God can live. And it is like that now at times, isn't it? We all get a taste in many times of this peace and unity between Christian people. Not because we're perfect. It is really hard to forgive other people and to be reconciled to them. Forgiving others is probably the hardest thing you will ever have to do, and to let go of the things that are dividing us. It takes time. It takes grace. And the easy way to deal with conflict is to build a wall so we can ignore the other people. But Jesus says, "I want to break that down. I want to be your peace." And so I believe this can happen to us when we're not hoping in ourselves, but in Christ, because he's our peace. We have peace in him. And so if we allow the grace of Jesus into us, we can be in this church now a taste of what will be when God's plan for unity in the entire world is fulfilled. And we can be the people we were made to be. And the same is true in the wider church as well, however divided we are. And despite our differences, there are still a fundamental unity between Christians. You can see that in lots of different ways, the unity between Christians of all races and cultures. As a Christian, I've often felt united to people around the world that I've never even met, because I know they serve Jesus and they love him. And we partly express this through our partnership with mission overseas and people who are following him over there. They're our brothers and sisters too, part of the same household. And that's the deeper reality of being part of the church. And so that's our first task, to find peace together with Christ at the centre. And if we embrace that within ourselves and within the church, then we can move on to be ambassadors of reconciliation in the world. Because the world is always full of conflict, and it's going to keep being full of conflict. But we can be part of reconciliation in that, even in small ways. Because so you can imagine what it's like if you're a person of peace in your workplace or where you're studying or in your home. And that's the role of the church, to be that. And so that's a sign of unity and peace in the world of division. And that's God's plan, as he says, to bring all things on earth into unity under Christ. So I'd like to pray as we reflect on that today and the challenge that Jesus brings. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that between us and within us, the wall of hostility and division often still exists. We pray that you would break it down in our lives. We acknowledge the divisions that are between us and the ways which we have hurt others and which we ourselves have been hurt. And we pray that we would not participate in the world of division anymore, but that you would bring us together in peace through your grace and make us ambassadors of peace and reconciliation in your world. Amen.